Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
We're back in the open. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the new year.
Yay!
The same as last year.
No, you're like, no, don't say that.
Yeah, man, you got to put new energies in and embrace that new positive energy that exists with starting over.
Okay, so obviously our topic is about starting over, and I can already tell I'm feeling resistance.
Why, you don't want to start over? What's wrong with that idea of trying to start over?
So that's funny, because we're like, oh, we're going to start over. And you're like, okay, start over in the new year. And I'm just like, but I'm still traumatized by 2020.
So, okay, let's frame this in this way. At least this is in my positive, affirmative, we're going to embrace everything goodness spirit. When you start over, right? Because that's what we're talking about. When you start over anything, whether maybe something didn't work in the past, maybe the past really kind of sucked, it didn't go the way you wanted, you were completely obliterated by your feelings about whatever has happened, there has to come a point where you're like, okay, I am now going to turn the page. And I feel like that when it's the beginning of the year. I can still think about what's happened before, but I am trying wholeheartedly to put all my energies towards, we're at step one, we're going to move forward.
Yeah.
That's what I think for me, it has to work so that I don't slip backwards.
Yeah. You have some mad life coach vibes right now.
Okay. That's in another life.
Starting over, has there been a time in your life where you felt like you started over?
Oh, plenty, man. Plenty.
So when you think of starting over, is it like big start over, small start over? Tell me a little bit about your restarts.
They've been tied to personal changes. Like I remember changing jobs. I don't even know when my anniversary date is here at MHA, but it's sometime in January. But I've been here 11 years. That's a long time. I've never really been anywhere this long. But I remember first coming here and I was like, oh my God, I'm leaving what I know in the comfort of that space to try this new thing. So that's one. Ooh. Then when I got divorced, I was single again.
Yeah.
And then part of that process required for me to then start dating again.
Yeah.
Living on my own. So all of these kind of personal like life moments. Mm-hmm. And then I started school. I finished school. I got my master's. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go get my PhD. And I was like, are you sure you're going to do that? And still working on that. So hopefully 2021 is the year that it's over.
So it's funny because I hear you talking about starting things and the anticipation or excitement of change, mm-hmm. and starting something new, which has a different connotation from starting over, like a do-over. And the one thing on your list that really popped out for me was your divorce.
Yeah.
When I think of starting over as distinct from
starting.
that's what I think about, right? When someone looks up like, how do I start over? How do I start over in life? The biggest time I can think of when I made a concerted effort to start over was in my late 20s. I went on a 5-year sabbatical from romantic relationships.
At that point, you stopped at that moment?
Oh, I was like, I need to seriously evaluate my life choices. Your life is in the crapper. I was unhealthy. I was emotionally unhealthy. I was romantically unhealthy. I had bad relationships. If you had to describe a version of a rock bottom.
That was yours.
Like, to me, starting over had an element of a coming to Jesus. Like, you needed to look at the crap that you created and be like, oh, I have to start over because there's nothing here that I necessarily want to carry forward into my future life.
Dude, that is trash. Heavy.
Why else does somebody Google that question?
When you said I have to look at what I created and figure out what I'm going to leave, that for me completely exemplifies the starting over. And you're right. The most significant start over for me was getting divorced and then figuring out my life from that moment on.
It's a devastating place to be because if you tap into that time in your life, like it felt so empty and painful in the emptiness. So not just like sadness or depressed, like painful emptiness.
I don't recall feeling empty. I feel aimless without a clear direction. Mm-hmm. And that was the trying to be like, what am I supposed to do now?
Oh, you mean like the unknown future?
Yeah.
When you're like staring into the void?
Yeah, dude.
It feels a little paralyzing, right? I don't know if you yes. felt paralyzed. I felt paralyzed.
I would totally say yes. And I would also say there were a lot of moments of self-doubt.
Because you're afraid. I think we are afraid of going back. Is it that I was afraid of going back? Or was it so crappy there was no way to go back? There's no way to go back because there's nothing to go back to.
It's not the fear of going back. Accepting that you had a role in what happened and now you have the choice to make it better.
Oh, that's really a hard part of starting over because you don't necessarily have to bring other parties forward into your future, but you still bring yourself.
Yeah. So whatever happened, you're still the one that's coming to the table and being like, let's do some actual work. Let's look at ourselves in the mirror and say, what do we have to change about ourselves to actually take that next step and move in a positive direction?
I think that my starting over process lasted for about 5 years. And it started with a day, and I can remember it. It started with a day where okay. I did horrible things.
Okay.
And I felt so much shame about it that I was like, you have a choice to continue to operate the way you are and probably will be arrested and die.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to change your life. And then it took me like 5 years to, well, for me at least, I remember the day I felt like it ended was the day I said, oh, you know what? I can have a romantic relationship.
Hmm.
And that was the decision to be like, you know what? I can date again. It was the end of the process of time to like heal.
Yeah.
To allow myself to take the step to start over and start fresh.
I laugh because one, no, you know, people don't know this, but you and I can see one another when we're recording and your face is like, 5 years, you know? And I can just see, like, in your eyes, like, how all the stuff that's happened in that time is just there still, very visible for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can connect to it.
If you're going to start over major life events, like, you're going to recover from whatever. If you're going to recover from addiction, if you're going to recover from being an abuser, if you're going to recover from abusing yourself, you're going to recover from being in a bad, toxic relationship. They're not light switches. They don't happen overnight. You can't wake up and be like, I am changed. Go forth, my loved one.
Yeah. When you think of time, I really want to just focus on that for a moment. 5 years, that's a very long time to give you an opportunity to do better. And that's how I talk to myself. Like, how can you do better?
So let's walk through like how you got better. Like if you had to go back and say, okay, well, first of all, do you relate to that? Like, do you relate to the beginning of a moment where you woke up and you were like, whatever is happening is not okay and I need to do something different?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a distinct situation that happened and my mom's voice in my head, where she says to me, referring to my ex-husband, he is going down the drain and he's dragging you along with him. And I was like, damn, ma, you know?
Ooh.
But that kind of started the breadcrumb effect of me thinking about what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And led me down this path where, you know, the situations that came up and arose in our marriage, I was just like, this can't go on anymore like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we separated and then got divorced and everything. But I remember being in the moment where I completely knew the next step is me actually communicating with a lawyer, getting everything in. I was surrounded by people that really loved me. And I felt like so many butterflies in my stomach. I was like, I have no idea what happens from this moment on. And then I had to do the work of actually figuring out what that meant, mm-hmm. and disentangling all the crap that I had that had built up to then slowly thread by thread be like, oh, this is useful. Put that aside. This isn't. We're going to dump it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the work of 5 years.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. Let's break down. Like, you hit a point where you realize you need to change. Mm-hmm. Then you have the process of starting. Actually, is it like the 5 years, what I call my 5 years, it's not the ability to start over for real requires an accountability and a cleansing time. So I think of those 5 years as cleansing time.
So in those 5 years, if it's cleansing, that's what you're calling it, right? I would imagine, because this is how I have visualized it and experienced it, that it was progressive change. Tiny little things that started changing that ultimately became a full-on, ta-da, look,
yeah,
I am this person now.
Yeah. So the starting over starts the day that we commit to ourselves.
Okay.
Obviously, change continues. And once you start over, it's a lifelong journey. But I do have a day, like when I say to you, like, oh, I feel like maybe I am ready for relationships. It was mm-hmm. like a moment where I was like, whoa, I am ready. For me, that was the ta-da moment, you know?
Okay.
I was like, and it was tied to confidence.
Okay.
Like to say, you know what? I am ready for X has a sense of confidence in it where I'm not tied by the past and the fears that I have about falling into old habits because I spent the time to do that work. So I was more prepared to actively engage in additional behaviors that were healthier and risky. Being in relationship with others is a risk, but I was more confident that I could do it in a healthy way.
Okay.
That's what I call like my end, but like, where do you call, like, what's, to me, this is all the parts that I think includes my starting over journey.
There is a time where I had to really think about maybe picking up new skills, rebuilding whatever I felt was lost. Maybe that's one. So rebuilding. And then re-envisioning whatever it is that I wanted and what I want. I think my moment where I was like, okay, you're ready. It wasn't tied to any one specific thing. It was around my ability to be in my own space and be completely fine. There was no question about whether I should have a boyfriend, a husband, or I was just me. I'm fine with me and my dogs just chilling.
Yeah.
And it was acceptance.
It's funny that we're both talking about relationships, and maybe there's something special about interpersonal relationships and specifically with a partner, like the person that you pick to live with your life, mm-hmm. like in that way, because there is no other relationship that challenges you like a partnership. And the only way to be in a healthy relationship and start fresh with a healthy relationship is to feel confident in yourself.
But dude, when you speak the way that you're speaking right now, what's funny is that we oftentimes will relate all of our experiences to the ones that we have with another person.
That's so that. Trust me, yeah, that's the yeah. pain,
but,
right?
Yeah. But we don't actually ever consider the relationship that we have with ourselves. And I say that because I had to practice really understanding how I felt about myself in all of these kind of things, mm-hmm. and connect back to a feeling of worthiness and of value.
Yeah. You and I are still in that space. It doesn't end. Just because I feel more confident today and that I did choose to move forward doesn't mean that I'm not bound up in my insecurities because of what happened in the past, right? That's not like, that's part of the starting over. Is you can't think of it as a light switch and then when you get in a fight, it's a failure, because that sets you up for really inappropriate ways of seeing starting over. Mm-hmm. Starting over doesn't mean everything in the future is good. I think at least for me, it did mean that there were things that I did that I said no more. Like, these are my boundaries, my hard boundaries. I'm going to take an accounting of what existed in that life that is not acceptable and is toxic and unhealthy. I will not allow myself and my body and my mind to contribute to having those kinds of behaviors and thoughts exist in my new life. It took like really looking and making a list of what did you do? What did others do? What existed that was not okay? And like, what are you not going to do again?
I totally believe in all of that and in the value that it has when we're thinking about ourselves and relationships and in relationship to other people and kind of our functioning. But I also consider like starting over. I think for a lot of people, there was a lot of heartache and change in 2020. So it is like reimagining what you want at, you know, at the start. Like what you're saying, right? These things didn't work in this space. If I'm a student or something, like I don't like this college. I don't like this school. Anything that is that basically the outside world is pushing you to kind of figure out if you want it. So it's asking, it's really pushing you to identify your barriers, like you said. And then you come to this place, you're like, nope. I'm not going to accept that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, relationship, work, school, whatever. And you're just like, no, not doing it anymore, man. I'm done with it. I'm going to move on.
So outside of taking an accounting of what you didn't want, did you also say, this is what I do want in a healthy relationship? Did you think about that before you met your current partner?
Yes. Yes, ma'am, I did. And, but that was again, a whole process. And I remember having a conversation with one of my cousins and she was like, you have really high expectations. You know, nobody's going to check all these boxes you've identified. And I was like, well, if they don't, then I'll have to consider them very closely to see if I even want to get in a relationship. Uh-huh. And she was like, America, things don't work like that. And I was like, for me to be good and like well for myself, they got to work like that. And if they don't, they don't fit into the space.
Mm. So what happened? Did that person meet your high expectations?
My fiance meets some of my expectations. Mm-hmm. And I have come to realize that I have very high expectations that are sometimes not for the best.
So your expectations were rooted in your pain. So you adjusted them.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that seems right.
Like you said, you continue to change and process.
Yeah.
You integrate new things.
I think some people don't do that, though. They don't take the time. If you're starting over, it's easier for us to think about the past and what we don't want. It's harder for us to spend time to envision the future. And so if you leave your life to a blank slate, an empty canvas, which is a scary space to be, and you don't fill it with what you think might go there, it's kind of a risky thing. You kind of just did half the work.
You know what though, Teresa, and I know you're not going to like this. That's why like I have a vision board and I know you're like
vision boards, but okay.
But that helped me really think about what I wanted. I wanted to visualize. So I'm a visual person, right? I needed to see these things in front of me and what they meant and how that spoke to me. So I started really thinking about all the different facets of my life. And I was like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Nobody's stopping you. What do you want?
I don't poo-poo vision board. I don't. Why don't I like vision boards?
I think because it requires you to do that work to think about what it can look like in the future. It's hard.
Because I don't find that the pictures in magazines meet my needs for what I'm visioning. Because where do you find a picture in a magazine of safety?
Oh, I would counter that by saying, what visually in your mind does safety look like?
Sleep.
Okay.
Being able to sleep and not have insomnia. Okay. Or worry about someone attacking you in the middle of the night. I don't know. They're not rational. I struggle with a vision board, but what I was able to do was make a list.
Do you still have it?
That's where I could start. Probably somewhere buried.
Okay.
Like my list wasn't specific behaviors. It was like, I want trust.
Okay.
Right? Like I want trust. That's actually a big one for me. So like it's weird things. It's like, I wanted trust. I wanted somebody who was considerate. Mm-hmm. I would have a hard time with a vision board because I'm not creative and it gets me stuck in my head with like, I don't know, the pressure of picking the right picture.
Yeah.
For your vision board life. Like, I don't know. But I could make a list and I did. And then I talked about it. I think in my head, I talked about it for a long time. I talked about it with my therapist. I talked about it with my friends. And like a lot of starting over was grieving. You know, it was like,
yeah, I didn't mention letting, that, but yeah.
But processing through the grief of the past and then getting towards acceptance meant planning for and anticipating what could be good for the future. And then that way, when I went into the future, at least I knew what I was looking for to build a new life and could pursue those things versus that time where you – because that time where it felt empty or what we talked was like the paralysis of the unknown, to me, that feeling went in the 5 years.
When you talk, though, about like the stages of grief, you know, a lot of time it's associated with death, you know, of a loved one or something. But the five stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Mm-hmm. I would say, and I would ask people to really think about this, we go through this process of grief with so many different aspects of our life. It is not just the death of a loved one. It's really hard when that happens, but it's no less hard when you experience these really down negative moments in your life because you got to go through the process. Otherwise, you don't actually live in that space where you can then embrace the acceptance that comes at the end of it. So when you think about the things that you can do to help you kind of visualize, think about everything that you want, there is a whole conceptual need that exists for us to literally think about what we want and put it out into the world, right? And say, I want this. And in my experience, what happens when you start sharing that with other people that you trust and care about you, they'll also push you to be like, are you sure that that's what you want? Because this could be this way. And then you're like, oh, wait, let me scratch that off. Hold on, revise. And then you like modify it to something, you know? And that revision occurs all the time. It may be not so evident, you know, like I'm going to go sit on my list and cross it off. No, it just may happen so naturally that you're like, oh yeah, at one point I did want this, but now I know that I really want this.
You start out with what you think you want and you do end up with learning what you really need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have both wants and needs, but to be healthy and to start over, you really have to focus on those needs.
Yes. I would hope that it really is about engaging in this process that pushes you to really consider what makes you happy and content in your life. And if you don't know that, then do some work to figure that out. Because then that means you got to do some work here. If you're having a hard time coming up with these five things I need or these five things I want, then we got to go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, let me think about this.
And starting over is, I find that the hardest things about starting over is the desire to rush the process.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you want to hurry up and get
better
to something.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it took that long because you have fits and starts. It's not like smooth sailing, you know, you're going to kind of do better and worse. And if I look back at starting over, the hardest parts was forgiving myself. That whole time, taking an accounting of what I had done personally, so not what other people had done, but what I had done, forgiving myself was so painful. Then the being comfortable with being alone in my own head, learning how to self-soothe and be comfortable in the chaos in my own head.
Man.
Because there was a lot of desire to run away, to avoid, to go back, to rush through, to put it on someone else to fix the problem, to just not be in this like super painful space. And that's why it took 5 years. But I will say, I don't know, those 5 years felt like a millennium. Like, it felt like forever. And it also went by so fast.
When you think of sitting, I literally learned how to go to like restaurants by myself, go to the movies by myself. And I pushed myself to do that.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because I knew that that was a territory that I had to get comfortable with. And, you know, out of all of this, do not, I hate to sound like so like whatever, but really do not think that small little hiccups in there are you failing. They're not. It's just part of the process. You're gonna learn new things. You're gonna take in some things and be like, oh, dude, I don't know why I even did that. Let's start it over again. And there's little start overs that you then have to integrate and be like, boom, all right. And then there'll come a point where I'm just like, all right, I'm okay here. I got it. I got to that place.
Yeah, that's right. It's so funny. I'm with you. Like, out to practice being comfortable in myself and with myself to start over, to be better. Yeah, going to a restaurant, going anywhere by yourself. Why is that so hard?
Because I think for a lot of people, when you see somebody that's alone, it supposedly reflects something negative about them, when that's like society telling us, oh my God, why are they alone? But that person that is alone, it's like you own your entire space, yo. Like, more power to you because you rock.
I know.
Even though internally we'd be like, oh my God, everybody's looking at me. But that's all right.
Starting over is big and it's also small. The big part is making the decision to prioritize yourself above the pain of staying where you are.
Totally.
That's a big decision, but it takes tiny little incremental steps forward, just moving forward, doing the next right thing over and over to rebuild the habit and the practice of what it means to take that big step. And then in the middle of it, there are like medium things, like going to the restaurant by yourself, or, you know, breaking up with a bad relationship because you realize you rushed into it and you realize, nah, that should not have happened. Yeah. I wasn't ready. You know? I think that there will be many times I will have to continue to start over. I think about that now, like what would have to happen in my life for me to have to do that again. I kind of do that as my contingency plan, but I feel more prepared for it. Like, if something bad were really to happen, because I already went through that before, I do feel more confident in myself that I will be able to tackle that experience going forward.
You learned something. You picked up skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It gives me comfort and hope to know that I'm a survivor.
I think that's a good place to set the stage for this year and hope. I think that's the best thing that we can do. You start over with hope.
Thank you, America.
No, thank you, Teresa. And thank you to our listeners. Keep fighting in the open, man. Every day.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.